The Gospel of Luke chapter 8, let's begin reading at verse 26. And they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man, which had devils a long time, and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not. For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For oftentimes it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters, and he brake the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, What is thy name? And he said, Legion, because many devils were entered into him. And they besought him that he would not command them to go into the deep. And there was a herd of many swine feeding on the mountain. And they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them. And he suffered them. Then went the devils out of the man and entered into the swine. And the swine ran violently down a steep place into the lake and were choked. And they that fed them saw what was done, and they fled and went and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. They also which saw it told them by what means he was possessed of the devils was healed. And when the whole multitude of the country of the Gadarenes around about besought him to depart from them, for they were taken with great fear, and he went up into the ship and returned back again. Now the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might go with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, Return to thine own house, and shew how great things God hath done unto thee. And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done for him. And when it came to pass that Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they all were waiting for him. Possessed with the devil. That's scary to think about, isn't it? Are you filled with the Holy Ghost? Is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Have you made your calling and election sure with God and took His Spirit in and identified yourself with Him? I hope so, because if you've done that, you can't be possessed with the devil. The Scripture's very plain that Satan and God will not live and keep house in the same house. Now, years ago, I've seen people attempt to cast the devil out of Christians. People had been shouting earlier in the service, we're getting some kind of demon cast out of them later in the service. That can't be, folks. That can't be. If the Holy Ghost is filling a man or a woman, it can't be that they are possessed with the devil. Now, don't misunderstand me. The devil can torment you. He can aggravate you. He can make your kids go crazy and your in-laws be outlaws. He can make the person next to you at work just turn into a regular hyena. It's amazing how the number of ways that Satan can find to torment your life. It's amazing what he can do. But, my friend, if you have crossed the bloodline and the blood of Jesus Christ is on your heart and you're filled with God's Spirit and you're walking with God, Satan cannot take you. If he could, he would be stronger than God. Jesus said that the ones that were given to him, Satan could not do what? Pluck them out of his hand. If the devil could come up and suddenly take you away from God, say, I'm going to take you away from Jesus, and walk away with you and steal you, my friend, he'd be stronger than Jesus. He'd be stronger than God. But I've got good news to bring tonight. Jesus Christ is the devil's boss man. Now, Jesus had met the devil a lot of times in his life. In fact, as
pre-incarnate God, Jesus knew the devil very well. In fact is, it's hard to think and say, he created him. He didn't create him, the devil. He created him, the archangel Lucifer. We only know the name of three angels, and that's Lucifer and Michael and Gabriel. Now, there's some other religions that's come up with other names for other angels, but they're not in the Bible. And I say, if it's not in the Bible, let's don't say it. If it's in the Bible, let's believe it. If the Bible speaks, we speak. And if the Bible's silent about something, then let's be silent about it. But Jesus, when he entered his ministry, met the devil. In a way, you've never met the devil. You know, the devil seldom ever saddles up to you and says, "Hello, I'm the devil, and I've come to take your eternal soul to hell. I've come to torment you and trick you and seduce you and take you down to hell." You wouldn't go with him, would you? He doesn't do that. He doesn't walk up. But he did to Christ, because Christ already knew him. And very often, we may not be meeting the devil. We are probably meeting one of his imps, one of his other fallen angels who's become a demon. And that's who we're probably meeting. But Jesus Christ met the devil, a person that is brilliant, has great mind in that he's intelligent, and great power. The scripture said, I used to hear Brother Shambach say, the devil don't have no power. I know what he meant, but the scripture's very plain that he has power. He can call down fire from heaven. He can perform signs and miracles. And he is a bad boy to the core. Now, Jesus met the devil when he was weak. We talked about that a few weeks ago. When he was weak, when he was hungry, when he was down and out, Satan himself came to Jesus Christ and tempt him. But more often than not, it's sad to say, when you meet the devil, you're going to meet him in another human being. Some other human being is going to come by and going to have the spirit of Satan in them, and that person's going to torment you, aggravate you, treat you bad, or maybe just go berserk on you. And you say, those things happen? Yes, they do. Do you believe that people can be possessed with devils? Yes. Jesus believed it and spoke to them and talked to the demons that were possessing people. And any number of times when Jesus was on earth, he met people who were possessed with demons. In fact is, they brought demon-possessed people to him and asked him if he would set them free, asked him if he would make them whole. So is it a fact that demons can possess human beings? Yes, it is. Is it a fact that there are demons on this earth doing the work of Satan and subverting things? Why, yes, some of them live in Washington. Maybe a whole bunch of them live up there. Some of them, whole passel of them live in Hollywood. No doubt about that. Good number of them live in Nashville. Some of them live on Wall Street. You see, they're conspiring to control the earth and the people that are on the earth. In fact is, the scripture said in the last days that Satan gave his power to the beast nations that are living on the earth and animated the nations with his power. So there is a devil, a real devil, who is, Jesus said, a thief. He steals everything that's in sight, that's good. He steals your virtue. He steals your peace. He steals your hope. He steals everything he can do. He'll steal your body. He is a murderer. His ultimate goal is to murder you and ultimately to destroy your soul in hell. There is a real devil who really is after people, possesses people, and takes them down to the devil's hell. Now you say, why would you say a devil's hell? Because that's who it's created for. The hell was not created for you. Hell was created for the devil and his angels. And they know the sentence has already been passed by God Almighty. And the devil and his angels know that they are going to hell. They know that there's a day marked on the calendar. They don't know when it is, but they know there's a day marked on the calendar that God is going to execute the rest of the sentence. What was the first part of the sentence? They were cast out of heaven and they live on the earth. These hordes of demons live in the air. You say, how do you know they live in the air? Because the Bible said that Satan is the prince of the power of the air. He lives in the atmosphere. You see, when they got cast out of heaven, they came down. Satan, in the Old Testament times, would go up to heaven and stand before God and accuse. He's a slanderer. That's where the devil, word devil and Satan comes from. He's a slanderer. He did Job. Satan came when the sons of God came and presented themselves before God. Satan came also, and God said, have you considered my servant Job, how good he is and what he lives? And he said, yeah, but he begins to accuse Job. If you didn't make him rich, if you took everything he had away from him, he wouldn't serve you. And so God said, well, take everything he's got away from him. We'll see. And said, you just can't touch him, but you can take everything he's got. Well, in one day, he took every child, took all of his servants, took all of his camels, his horses, his donkeys, his cattle, and everything he had, his sheep and his goats. The thousands and thousands that he had were destroyed in one day. And God said, have you considered my servant Job, that even though he's lost everything he's got, he still serves me and loves me? He said, of course, skin for skin. He's got his health. If he didn't feel so good, he wouldn't serve you. And God said, do anything to him you want. Just don't let him die. Don't kill him. Well, he tormented poor Job to death. That's what the devil's out to do. To kill, to steal, and to destroy. He wants to destroy homes, lives, careers, thoughts, and minds. He wants to destroy bodies. Why do you think the devil's in the dope business and the liquor business? Because he wants to destroy human beings. Why do you think he's in the venereal disease business, or we say now STDs? Why do you think he is? Because he's in the business of destroying. He's in the business of doing. Why do you think the devil likes abortion? Because he's destroying thousands and thousands of human lives every year. That's the devil's business. And you say, but why would the devil want to possess a human being? And if he possesses him, what would he do to him? And how would it be in him? Well, people are possessed with demons. You see, the demons have no body, but they want one, and they look for one. In fact is, they'll settle on anyone they can get and get in. Now, there's people they would rather be in than others. There are people that they can be effective in and do more dirt and more damage, but they look for a body. There's the story Jesus told of the man who had a demon, and it was cast out of him. And the demon went wandering off through dry places and couldn't find a place to rest. What was he looking for? He was looking for another body to possess. And he came back and found his house, the man's body, cleaned and garnished. And what did he do? He went and got seven more devils, worse than himself, and did what? Came into the man and possessed him. That means the man now has eight devils instead of one devil. And fact is, if they can't get anything else, they'll settle for an animal. You say, can animals be possessed with a demon? Well, they certainly were in this story. And I've seen a few dogs in people's yards along the way that I was convinced had a demon in them. I was just absolutely sure they did. And I've seen animals for no reason be in a rage, and you wonder about things like that. But there was a herd of swine on the hill above this man. And when the demons went out of the man, where did they go? They went into the swine. Do you know how many pigs there were in that herd? 2,000. You have to read it. It's in three Gospels, in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And there were 2,000 swine in that crowd. And the demons drove the hogs crazy. Now, if demons drive the hog crazy, what does it do to human beings? It drove them crazy. They ran across the field and leaped off of a cliff and drowned in the sea. I've always wondered what happens when a demon-possessed person dies. Where does the demon go? I think they leave and start looking for a new home that they can get in. And what effect it has on them. Look what an effect it had on this man. And by the way, there were two of these men. If you read Matthew, Mark, and Luke, you find out that two men met him. They had traveled across the Sea of Galilee from Capernaum, and they landed at this place, the Gadarenes, Gadara. And when they got there, they were met. Evidently, the cliffs and the tombs were very close to where they landed. And this fella came running out, he and his friend, the other demon-possessed person. They had evidently rolled the stone back from the tomb and were living among the decaying corpses and the bones of the dead people in a tomb. Now, it wasn't that the people of Gadara had not tried to do something. They had tied them with ropes. They had tied them with chains. They had done everything they knew to do. And yet, these people had superhuman power because of the devil that was in them. And they broke the bands and tore them asunder. They lived naked. They didn't want any clothes on. They ran naked in the tombs and ran naked in front of other people. They had done everything they could to close them up, and they lived a violent life. If you came by, they were a menace to you. They ran out at you and attacked you. They were dangerous to themselves and to others. They cut themselves with stones and knives, and they cried and wailed and made awful sounds. What a horrible life they were living. And they could not be controlled. They had done everything in their power to control these men, but they could not be. So everybody just stayed clear of the graveyard, looked down at the tombs where they were living, and were living among the dead bones. What a horrible thing. Man, this is something out of the Twilight Zone, folks. And yet this man was possessed with a demon. I have to tell you something. When Jesus Christ landed at Gadara, no, the mayor did not come out, nor the town council, nor the people of Gadara did not come out. But as soon as Jesus landed, these demoniacs came out of the tombs and met Jesus. You know why? They knew exactly who he was. The devil has better sense than people sometimes. You see, the demons always know Jesus. Go through the scripture and read. Every time Jesus met a demon-possessed person, that person would call him by name and know who he was. They knew exactly who he was. He was the one who in time past and eternity had sat on the throne of judgment and passed judgment against the fallen angels and against the devil himself. And they knew he was. And they believed in him. Now, they didn't believe unto salvation, but they believed the fact that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. By the way, they also believed he had the power to command them to do whatever he wanted to do, and it would have to happen. They knew. Now, people are stupid because they run with the devil and run with the devil's crowd. But these demoniacs, all of them in the Bible, were aware that Jesus Christ had power to command them what to do. They believed in a future judgment. They talked about, why have you come? And they believed in a place of torment. Why have you come to send us to the place of torment before our time? They recognized that there was a time coming that they would be passed off of this world into a place of torment for eternity. They recognized that. Poor, stupid human beings believe the lies of the devil, believe there's no devil and no hell, teach in the universities and in the schools of learning across the country that we have arrived at the place that we understand there's not a personal devil, there's not a real burning hell and all that. Well, these devils believed in a real burning hell. They believed in a time that would come that they would be tormented in the fires of hell. They had already heard the sentence pronounced in times past before, and when Jesus Christ ascended up, Satan could never again go in the presence of God and torment and accuse the people. You see, my friend, they believed in prayer and they begged Jesus. They prayed to Jesus and said, don't bring us to torment before our time. They knew, the demons knew that one day Jesus was coming, and when he come, he would throw them into hell fire, and that would be their lot for eternity. And when they saw Jesus Christ step out of that boat off of the Sea of Galilee into Gadara, they thought, oh no, the time has come, and he's come to get us. And then they realized that enough things had not happened, and it was not time yet. So they prayed, do not torment us before our time. And they prayed and asked him where if they could go into the swine. You see, they believed it paid to pray to Christ. They believed there was a burning hell torment and a future judgment. And they believed that Jesus Christ had the power to command them where to go. Now, these demons always looking for a body and looking for a place. I have to tell you, you have to ask yourself, can more than one demon possess a person? Well, the story I just told you would tell you, of course, that that demon went and got seven more worse than himself, so that person had eight. How many demons did Mary Magdalene have when Jesus delivered her? Out of whom was cast seven devils. Mary Magdalene was a woman possessed with seven devils, and Jesus cast the demons out of her. How many demons did these two men have? Well, enough to drive 2,000 hogs stark raving mad and make them jump into the ocean. Jesus asked them, said, what is your name? And you know what he said? He said, our name is Legion, for we are many. Do you know how many soldiers are in a Roman legion? Up to 6,000 can be in one legion. There were always thousands of soldiers in a Roman legion. It may be 1,000. Or it may be 6,000. But there were thousands of soldiers in a Roman legion. So when this fella answered, our name is Legion, he's telling him there's many, many, many demons in these two men that have driven him to this. Now I have to tell you something. Girls, you'll like this. You remember I said there were no female angels? Let me tell you something, girls. All demons are male. Why did I see all these heads going up and down here? Go ahead, girls. Say amen and get it over with. All right. I knew that would be enthusiastic. There's never been a female demon spoken of in the Bible. You never find a demon spoken of as she. In fact, is the girl that was a witch and stood beside the road in Philippi, Greece, and Paul went by her, and he cast the demon out of her. It speaks of the girl, then it speaks of the demon as being him and being he. Why? Because all angels, and these are fallen angels, are always spoken of in the male gender. Demons are always in the male thing. They always are males. Now, let me tell you something. Demons are always spoken to. You know, sometimes I see people want to cast demons out and they want to tell the person to get rid of the devil. That's asinine. If the person is possessed with the demon, he can't get rid of it. He's possessed by it. The only thing that can release that person from the power of the devil is what? Is the power of God that can command it to leave. The Bible said that Jesus cast out demons with the power of his word. He could speak to them, but after all, he could speak and there be an earth and a planet and a sun and a moon. And he could speak to the demons and the demons had to leave. Now, that's a wonderful thing to know, isn't it? When you go to cast the demon out of somebody, there's no point to saying, get ready, get rid of the devil. Let it come out, let it come out. If the person is possessed with the devil, he can't let it come out. If the person is possessed with the devil, you need to have the power to command the demon. You don't speak to the person, speak to the demon. Jesus always spoke to the demon, not to the person. The person came. Now, the voice you hear is the person's voice. But the demon inside is the one that's crying out and speaking through the person. And Jesus, being the devil's boss man, spoke to the demons and commanded them to come out of the people. And it was amazing the number of times it happened. You remember a man came once when Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration and brought his son to have the demons cast out of him. And when Jesus came down, he said, "Lord, your disciples have been trying to cast the devil out of my son. My son has the devil. It's trying to kill him. It's trying to make him commit suicide. It throws him into the fire, and it throws him into the water, and it's trying to kill him. And your disciples cannot cast him out." And Jesus went over and spoke, not to the boy. He didn't say, "You stupid boy, get rid of the devil." What he said to the devil was, "Come out of him." And at the word of Jesus Christ, the demon had to come out. The Syrophoenician woman came to Jesus and said, "My daughter is possessed with a demon." And he didn't answer, and she kept crying. And finally he said, "Woman, what have I to do with you? Why should I take the children's bread and give it to the dogs?" She was a Gentile. You know, I think I'd have left right then if I'd have been her. But man, she wanted this girl delivered from the demonites so bad that she continued. And you know what she said? She said, "Yes, Lord, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table." And he said, "I've not found this great of faith, no, not in Israel." And he commanded for her daughter at that moment to be freed from the power of Satan. Jesus always spoke to the demon. And my friend, if you don't know what you're doing, you better be careful when you're messing with the devil. You remember there were people in the book of Acts, seven sons of Sceva, who were pretty spiritual people, but they took more on themselves than they knew what they were taking. And they went to cast a demon out. And they said, "We adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preaches." And the demon jumped up and said, "I know Paul and I know Jesus, but who are you?" And the demon leaped on them and tore their clothes off of them. And they ran away naked, all of the sons of Sceva who were trying to cast out the demon. You say, "Do you believe people are possessed with demons today?" Yes, I do. Why would it be any different today than it was in biblical times? Some of our fundamentalist brothers try to say there was a great increase of demon activity when Jesus came to the earth, as it will be when he comes back again. The truth is, my friend, demons have always been in the earth, and demons have always possessed human beings. That's what they've been looking for. They've never had a body, but God created humans, not spirits with bodies. Understand? Not bodies with spirits, but spirits with bodies. Human beings are eternal spirits housed in a temporal body that one day will be changed and made like unto his own glorious body and become eternal. What a wonderful thing to know, my friend, that you have a spirit that's inside of you. This is not all it is. I have to tell you something, my friend. My spirit's 18 years old, and it don't have bad knees, and it don't get tired. My spirit is young and healthy and going. It's just this old frame that's showing signs of age. But my spirit is fine. Well, my friend, demons do not have bodies, but they envy you. Because they do not have bodies, they cannot procreate. They cannot create new ones. Aren't you glad the devils can't procreate? There'd be little devils everywhere. Maybe there are anyway sometimes. I mean, think about it. Think about all the possibilities. Well, when Jesus came to earth, everywhere he went, he met people who were possessed with demons. You say, "Do you pray against demons?" Yes, very often I pray against demons. And sometimes people come. So some people came to me from Naris who lived in an apartment one day, or they called me on the phone and said, "Could you please come down?" Said, "We're sure that there's an evil spirit coming to our house and going through the house." And when I went to the house, the baby bed was turned up and furniture was turned over, and it was a big mess. I don't know what had gone on in there beforehand, but they said, "Would you pray that the devil cannot come here? Would you pray that the devil cannot come into this apartment and into this house?" And I said, "Yes, I will." And I began to tell him, I said, your lifestyle has invited the devil in because you're not Christians and you're living for the devil and you're living his lifestyle. You've invited Satan to come into your house, but I'm going to pray against it because you've got a baby here and I don't want that baby to be destroyed by the power of Satan. And I started praying and I held my Bible and I stood in the middle of the room and I began praying against the power of the devil that was coming against these young people. And suddenly the door to their apartment that went out into a hall began to shake violently and move, and the doorknob began to rattle. And I ran to the door and grabbed it and opened it in the name of Jesus. There was not one thing in that hall. Not one person, not anything was there. And I ran into the hall and with my Bible and prayed against the power of the devil. You say, things like that happen? Uh-huh. Things like that happen. I remember one day I was in Cincinnati. We had a fellow that was working for us in Maybelline Carew as a stock boy, and he was going around, and he'd say, we're having prayer meeting Friday night. Won't you all come to prayer meeting? Anybody he knew, anybody even thought he knew, he'd say, we're having prayer meeting Friday night. Won't you come to prayer meeting? So I went by him, and I said, son, where do you go to church? And he said, oh, to St. Ursuline. I said, that's a Catholic church. That's a girls' school out in Blue Ash. He said, yeah, and you ought to see what God's done with us. God's poured out the Holy Ghost on us, and God's given us the Spirit of God, and said, it's amazing what God's doing. Won't you come? Why don't you come? He said, where do you go to church? I said, oh, I'm Pentecostal. He said, well, praise the Lord. Boy, my Catholic aunts didn't talk like that. I can tell you that. They didn't. And he said, well, praise the Lord. And he wanted to know if we'd come. So me and Fern and the two little girls, I had the only necktie on in church when I got there. We got into a perfectly square chapel. There was a bench all the way around the outside. Most people were young people and sat on the floor. There was an altar in the corner where the Eucharist was set up. And the priest came in a little bit. He had a pretty different robe on from what I was used to. It had paisleys on it. And a monk came in a brown cassock. And there was a piano there. And he sat down at the piano and began to play. There was a tambourine and a guitar, and they began to pray, and they began to sing, Jesus, hold my hand as I travel. And I'm saying, man, I've never been in a Catholic church like this. And in a little bit, they all began to wave their hands in the air and began to sing, praise him in the morning, praise him in the noonday, praise him at night. Oh, let us praise him. You know, I'm askance. I'm not used to Catholics praising and glorifying God. And they began to speak in tongues. And to begin to glorify God, and all over, children were falling out, teenagers, and they were just glorifying God. And somewhere in the middle of the service, there was a commotion at the door, and there was an older man, about my age now, and he was a street preacher downtown Cincinnati, and he came through the door, and he had a boy by the scuff of the neck, had his collar in his hand, and he dragged this boy through the door, and the service stopped, and everybody looked at him, and you know what he said? He said, this is our brother Tim. He's a junkie. He's possessed with demons of dope in the streets down in Cincinnati, and we brought him here to get this demon cast out of him. And nuns and priests and monks and people and kids began to run toward the boy, and a nun came and got me by the hand and said, come with us, brother, and help us pray against this demon. And we went and raised our hands and stood around him to cast the demon out of him. And when we started to cast the demon out of the boy, in the foyer, you went out the foyer this way and then that way to go outside. In the foyer, suddenly, was the awfulest screams and commotion and tearing that you've ever heard in your life. As we prayed against the demon in this boy, a junkie had followed him from downtown Cincinnati, and the demon manifested in him, and he was going berserk. And nuns grabbed their crosses off their necks, and instead of running from the devil, they ran at the devil. Those nuns and priests and people were running as fast as they could with their crosses in the air, and we went into the foyer, and those two boys were delivered from those demons that night. You say, those kind of things happen? Those kind of things happen. You say, that's absurd. My friend, that's biblical. That's biblical. That's what happened when Jesus was here. You see, the Holy Spirit and the power of God and the gifts of the Spirit are not necessarily a denomination. The reason we Pentecostals became a denomination was because the other people didn't make us welcome. Once the Spirit fell on us and things started happening, they sort of pushed us out, and it created a denomination. But it's not one. It's whosoever will let him come. It's whoever will yield themselves to the Spirit and yield themselves to the things of God. My friend, I can tell you, when Jesus comes into a heart and the devil goes out, there's a change that comes in that person. You know what? When this man had the demon cast out of him, you know, I have a notion he went down to the river and took a bath right then, or to the Lake Sea of Galilee. I'd say right that minute he went down and jumped in the water. I'd say the apostles baptized him and scrubbed him. And when he came up out of the water, he came and sat at the feet of Jesus. And he listened to the words that Jesus had. And his sincere desire was to follow Jesus wherever he went and be with him. By the way, he put on some clothes. Hint, hint. When he got rid of the devil, he put on some clothes and covered himself up. Now, you know there's no sin in heaven, but I can tell you in heaven, people got clothes from their necks to their feet. They look like dunkards in heaven. You can see their hands and their faces and their feet. I have to tell you something. I think we're in danger of losing holiness people in the world. People want all the blessings and joy of salvation, but they don't want to have to live a holiness life. My brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, when this man got rid of the devil, he sat at Jesus' feet and hung on his every word and was clothed in what else? And in his right mind. Oh, my friend, I can tell you, if we could go through the country and cast out demons, there would be many a psychiatric ward in a hospital that would be emptied because the demons would be out of the people. Oh, if we could only see, my friend, how Satan is subverting the world. That's why he likes dope. That's why he likes liquor. That's why he likes music that gets people lulled away and takes them away and puts them into trances and all those kind of things. Demons are at work, my friend, and they work not only here in the United States, which is primarily a Christian country, but demons work in religions, in the jungles, in the Himalaya Mountains. There are Tibetan monks that levitate, and you say, boy, that would impress me. My friend, nothing impresses me but Jesus. I don't care if you walk on the water. I don't care if you levitate in the air. I don't care what kind of signs, wonders, and miracles you do. My friend, if it's not the Word of God, it's bogus. Amen? Hallelujah. You see? And then you know what? You know what's really sad about this whole story? You would have thought the mayor of Gadara would have come out and give Jesus a key to the city, patted him on the back, and give him a great reward. His city had been taken care of. The demons had been cast out of his city. Thousands, no doubt, of demons had been purged from his city. The men who menaced the people and who attacked them and all of that were no longer a menace, but now sitting clothed and in the right mind at the feet of Jesus. You would think maybe they would have taken up an offering for Jesus. They would have given him an award of some kind. Not so. They were afraid. Maybe these were their pet devils. I think sometimes people have pet devils. Maybe these were their pet devils. Maybe these were the devils they kept down there for their entertainment. And they just looked at them and they talked about them. They weren't interested in their souls. They weren't interested in being changed. The truth was, my brothers and sisters, that these demoniacs were set free, and the people said, you go, Jesus, you leave, you leave. We don't want you here. We want you to leave. We want you to go. He never even got in their town. He never even got in their city. Wonder how many people could have been healed. Wonder how many people's eyes could have been opened that were blind. How many tongues could have been loosed that were dumb. How many ears that were deaf could have been unstopped. Wonder how many cases of Hansen's disease or leprosy they had there that could have been cured if they'd only let Jesus come in. Wonder what they cheated themselves out of when they told Jesus to leave. But Jesus, being the gentleman he was and is, my friend, he will not knock the door down to get in your house. If he knocks on your door and asks you to come in and you tell him to leave, I'm sorry to tell you, he'll leave. He may in his grace and mercy come back again and again and knock, but he will not push the door down. He will not come in over and overpower you. He will only come in when you invite him into your house. And brothers and sisters, these people invited him to leave. These people told him to get. And he went back and got in the ship and sailed back across to Capernaum. And those people received him gladly. I have to tell you some good news, my friend. You say Jesus is the devil's boss man? Yes, he is. And Jesus lives in us. My friend, you know that song we sing sometimes? We've got the power in the name of Jesus. Brothers and sisters, that's true. If we will use it, if we will live a righteous and holy life and stand true, my friend, you can go up against the devil and you can fight him. And there have been times that I've had to fight Satan. I remember distinctly, I had an old beat up GMC truck that didn't have a heater worth anything. And it was a frosty, cold night. And a nurse called me from the hospital and said, Eddie, can you get over here to the hospital? We've got a genuine case of demon possession in a room at the end of the hall, and we don't know what to do. And you know what? I came down the hall, and I didn't have much time to pray between here and Parisburg. And my teeth chattered because I was nervous and because I was cold. And I prayed all the way to the hospital. And when I got there, I could hear the screaming at the other end of the hall. And you say, what did you do, run? Yes, I did run, but I ran down the hall and into the door. And my friend, that person is still living, and thank God, not possessed with the demon today. And ran into the room. You never saw such a berserk human being up in the middle of a bed. But praise be unto God, the deliverance was there. I remember one evening a family called and said, you've got to come up here quick. Instead of calling the law, they called me. And this boy was just berserk and had a gun and was holding it on his wife. And the family was all sitting at the bottom of the hill, and the house was up on the hill. And I prayed as I went to the house, because it was not far that I had to go. And when I got to the bottom of the hill, they told me quickly what happened. And he was up there berserk with a gun and holding his wife hostage. And I ran up the hill, and I'm thinking all the time, I'm a sitting duck. He can see me coming up this hill, and I can't see him. But as I ran up the hill, I prayed, and I ran in the name of Jesus. And thanks be unto God, I was able to go in the house and take the shotgun from his hands and throw it out the door. And his life and her life could be spared. You say, Jesus has the power over the devil? My friend, Jesus is the devil's boss man. Jesus is the devil's boss man. You say, well, I'm glad preachers can do that. Let me tell you something. You can do that. The Holy Ghost lives in you. You've crossed the bloodline. You belong to Jesus Christ. You have the authority and the power to say, get thee hence, Satan. Get behind me, Satan. Leave, Satan. My friend, maybe you need to go through your house and cast the demons out of your house. I remember a long time ago, we went to a house to pray where some people who were not Christians had lived before. And we prayed over the house and we anointed it. We went around in the yard and anointed every door, went all the way around the house. You say, you people are crazy. I know. And we went all around the house praying against the demons that had been there. And inside, when the Spirit got on me, I was attracted to one corner. There was one place in the house that I was so attracted to. And the Spirit so wanted to just take away whatever was in that corner. And you know, they told me later, that's where they drank and gambled and had their gambling den, was in that corner of the house. I would have not known that or had anything to know about it. But my friend, I can tell you, the devil is loose in this world. His angels are running amok. People are possessed with demons. People are tormented with demons. But praise be unto God, say it with me, Jesus is the devil's boss man. Father, we come into your presence today thankful that in the gospel story, when Jesus met demons, he told them where to go. Father, I thank you that he freed human beings time and time again. Lord, their whole stories of where he went to towns and freed every demon that was in that town from the people. And Father, healed every disease and raised their dead. Oh God, I thank you that you sent your Son to this world, and he came and he lived and walked among us and demonstrated the mighty and the wonderful power of God. Father, inspire our hearts to use the power of God. Inspire our hearts, oh Father, to cash in to the glorious power of Jesus Christ and to set the captives free. Heavenly Father, help us to be able to rebuke Satan in our own minds, in our own hearts, in our own bodies. Help us to be able to rebuke him away from tormenting us. And help us to learn, Father, to rebuke him from our families and our homesteads and our cars and all the things that we have. Father, I thank you that in the plan of salvation, Father, you axed old Satan's power, and Lord, he has to be subject now to the Holy Ghost. Heavenly Father, I ask your favors and blessings upon this audience, that Lord, if we'll go down in our hearts, and Father, we'll see that we too can have the power that Jesus Christ gave us, and that Jesus will boss the devil every time. Heavenly Father, these favors we ask in Jesus Christ's holy name. Amen. My brothers and sisters, as we pray, I would ask you to come. If you need prayer, we'll be so glad to pray with you. Would you stand as we sing?
See on the portals, he's waiting.
Father, we thank you for the services we've had here today. Thank you for the opportunity we've had to share your word tonight. And Lord, we pray that the benediction of your Spirit will be upon your people to bless them as they leave this holy place and go home. Give them strength and the comfort of your presence. Give them power over the enemy and help us to be a sanctified and holy people. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.